Good morning. Thank you for those that have been praying through this process. I tell you what, it has been a process. I think if somebody told me having your hip replaced was going to be like this, I'd said, forget it. That first night was brutal. But I just to show you who was on the right side of praying, I did come home same night. So I don't know who you were that were praying that direction, but nice job. Nice job. Take your Bibles. Let's open up to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. I am going to try to stand through this, but if I have to sit down, it's going to be kind of weird because it's going to be, you know, anybody out there? So, Mark chapter 16, we have a tendency to expect certain things. We come into life, we always have expectations. And if we don't get those expectations met, a lot of times it really upsets us. For instance, let's go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Coming home from the hospital, we stopped at McDonald's. Really simple order. My wife wanted a Big Mac. I wanted a couple sausage burritos, their breakfast burritos, and a couple things to drink. Seems simple, right? And so they pull us ahead. We got our drinks. They pull us ahead. We had to wait 10 minutes for that. And by the time it came out, they just handed it to us. No, sorry for your wait. Nothing like that. They just handed it to us, and we get going up the road, and I'm divvying out the food, and I says, we didn't order this. A six-piece nugget, filet of fish, two double quarter pounders with cheese, and three French fries. I turn it around. Here we go. Needless to say, that was not what we expected. Now, if we don't get what we expect, but instead we get something far better, we're not going to complain about that, are we? Suppose I opened up that McDonald's bag, and instead of food, there was bundles of cash. Wow. You know, did I just hit the payroll here at your store? What happened? If it was loaded with gold and silver, we'd be okay with that. What if I found all sorts of gems and jewels? Would that bother me? Would that bother you if that's because you didn't get what you expected? So would that bother you? You say, well, yeah, it'd bother me. Somebody stole that probably. But let's say you turned around, you went back, and they says, no, that's just our treat for today. It's like, wow, that's the best happy meal I've ever had. You know, that's pretty good. When you look at the Easter story, on that first Sunday morning, there were a lot of expectations. Expectations that were not met. But expectations, and even though they didn't realize it at the time, what they got was far better than what they expected. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun and said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? So the first thing that they were expecting a heavy stone to be blocking their way. They knew what had taken place, that a stone had been rolled in place and it was sealed up by the guards and probably had the seal of the Herod or the Caesar. Somebody had their seal on that, so they knew that everything was good to go. They came expecting this huge stone. How in the world are we going to roll this thing away? Back up to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, starting in verse 62, notice what happens. Chapter 27 and verse 62, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre may be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. And so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, and setting a watch. Jump over to chapter 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Think about this today. Some of you have come into church today, maybe looking for answers. Maybe you have lots of obstacles in your life. These ladies knew there was going to be one obstacle in their life when they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. That obstacle was going to be a stone that it took a bunch of Roman soldiers to put into place. How in the world are we, ladies, going to get this stone rolled back? They had an obstacle, but you know what? God had already taken care of the obstacle before they ever got there. And I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you on something today, that God is already taking care of your obstacles before you ever get there. We look at the obstacle and we think, oh, this is brand new. What in the world am I going to do? God already knew about it. God's already got a plan in place. God wants to take care of it for you. But it's up to you and I to turn to the Lord. And these ladies, think of all the worrying that they did getting there. How are we going to move that stone? Oh, I just don't think. You don't. Here, flex your muscles there, Mary. No, not much there. How about you, Salome? Salome says, not me. I don't work out. So they're worrying about all this stuff that never comes to pass because God's already got the obstacle taken care of. Whatever your trouble is that you came in the door with today, God has got the obstacle already taken care of. And that's a guarantee. Now, think about as you look at this, what they got is so much more than what they expected. What they expected was a stone. What they got was that the stone was rolled away. Today should be a day of surrendering of our burdens over to the Lord. Let's look here in Matthew 28 at verses 2 through 6. Or start in verse 3. We just read verse 2. Verse 3, the countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. The second thing that the women were expecting was to find a corpse. Burial procedures back here in Bible days were so much different than our burial procedures are today. Very, very different. Back in Bible days, it was very natural for usually the ladies to take care of the body of the deceased. And what they would do is they would wrap that body up, and as a layer of cloth would go on, then a layer of spices and ointments would go in, and then a layer of cloth and a layer of spices would go in, trying to do as best as they could to make sure that that smell wasn't there. In the United States, and I thought this is kind of a weird and gruesome story to share, but that fit, burial procedures as we know them today actually started in about 1700s. The Scottish surgeon, William Hunter, one of his most notorious customers was a dentist, Martin Van Butchel. When his wife Mary died on January the 14th, 1775, he decided to have her embalmed and turn her into an attraction in order to draw more customers for his business. He injected the body with preservatives and color additives that gave a glow to the corpse's cheeks, replaced her eyes with glass eyes, and dressed her in fine lace gown. The body was embedded in a layer of plaster of Paris in a glass-topped coffin, and Butchel put the body on display in the window of his home. Okay, that's weird. The women in the first century were doing what was necessary. Turn in your Bibles, go back to the Gospel of John. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. If you stop and think about this, this taking care of a body back in Bible days, it was a disgusting task. That was not an enviable thing that you wanted to do, but it was something that had to be done. In John chapter 11, verses 38 and 39, we have a familiar story here. But John chapter 11, verses 38 and 39, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. What these ladies were expecting on this particular day, they were expecting there to be a corpse, and they had to be expecting that the Savior would be stinking by now because of his body decaying. That's what they came expecting. This is not what they got. Instead, consider what they got. Go back to Luke 24, just a few pages back, Luke chapter 24. They were expecting a corpse. The first thing that they saw is they saw two angels, very much alive. Luke chapter 24 and verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Luke's account tells us there were two angels. Also, in the other accounts, you'll see where there, as they came up on the scene, there were guards passed out all around the scene. Because when the Lord came to reveal, to roll that stone back, when that stone was rolled away, there was a trembling in the earth shook, and these people just dropped like flies. God had done another miracle, hadn't he? And these people just passed out right and left. And now instead of finding death, what she's finding is very much life and the encouragement that he is not dead. He is risen. Notice something else in John's Gospel, chapter 20. Starting in verse 4, the Bible says, "So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself." How many of you like to make your bed? Not too many of you. Not too many of you. I don't like the process, but I like a made bed. My wife and I have developed a system. The system is this: last one up has to make the bed. Seems to be a pretty good system, especially 5 days out of the week. I'm usually the first one up because of school. The summertime, now then, that's when it gets iffy, and we have to almost battle for that first up position. It's kind of funny, too, because when the alarm goes off, and if we were both kind of getting up at roughly the same time, it's a race. Who has their feet on the floor first and standing up? So, yeah, it's kind of fun, I guess. It gets the bed made, though, right? Consider how Jesus made his own bed. The Bible tells us that when they wrapped him up in these strips of cloth, he arose out of those. He didn't have to get up like a mummy and start unwrapping himself or things like that, but the wording literally means that he was lifted right directly out of those clothes. So if you would think of something that has been mummified and wrapped up with cloth, and all of a sudden that which is on the inside disappears, that cloth just goes right back into its form. It keeps the shape, but it deflates like a balloon deflating. And so that's what happened as Jesus arises from the dead. He just goes right through that. The other thing, though, that happens is he takes that napkin and he folds that napkin off to the side and lays it in a separate place. I've kind of wondered, why did Jesus do that? Why didn't he arise right out of that as well? I don't know. Why did he take the time to put that napkin and neatly fold it in its place? Somebody has suggested that the reason that he did that was so that nobody could come back and say, "See, we knew he was captured. We knew there was some kind of a hostile takeover." Nobody, a thief isn't going to make your house. If your house gets broke into and the thief makes a mess, they're not going to say, "Oh, boys, wait a minute, before we leave, we need to pick up the mess we made." You can't get a contractor to do that. A thief certainly isn't going to do that. So it's been suggested that that's one of the reasons why maybe Jesus left that napkin in a separate place and folded to show that there was no stealing of the body or anything like that. What these ladies expected on this day is not what they got. What they got was so much better. Do you ever wonder, though, why didn't the ladies take the grave clothes? I mean, if you'd walked in, you saw that, and you know you're going to be telling other people, "Hey, Jesus arose from the dead," why wouldn't you have scooped those up and say, "See, here's the stuff that was wrapped around him. We found this in the tomb." Why didn't they do that? Again, the Bible doesn't tell us that. It's just fun questions to kind of think through and try to figure out. For some reason, they didn't do that. They left everything exactly what it was. Maybe that was so that when they would went gone to tell others, everybody could come back and see exactly what they saw. What they got was so much better. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 7. In Mark 16 and verse 7, it says, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, that as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not." Here's another expectation that wasn't met, and this one wasn't met for the better. They were fully expecting that when they gave the news that Jesus had risen from the grave, that they would get word back from these disciples, that these disciples would show some kind of an excitement, some kind of an enthusiasm, in some way believe the story. They didn't do it, did they? Instead, they scoffed, they laughed, they mocked at it and thought, "Well, it's just a fabricated mess. That's not really what happened." They told the women, "You're crazy. We don't believe you. You must be, you know, why are you saying these kinds of things?" I bet you they were even kind of angry a little bit, because the Bible says they were weeping, they were mourning, they were grieving. You don't come to somebody that's mourning and grieving and say, "Hey, guess what? I just saw your loved one walking down the street." You don't do that, unless it's true. And these women came with that kind of a story. The tomb is empty. Jesus is gone. He is risen. and they didn't believe it. In Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, verse 10. In Luke 24 and verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, the other woman that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And then arose Peter and ran down unto the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths lying by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Isn't that something? Their words seemed like idle tales, and they believed them not, but at least somebody got up from the table. You know, Easter is one of the most maligned holidays for the Christian, maligned by people all over the place. Everybody is wanting to find the tomb of Jesus. Remember when the Shroud of Turin was a big deal? You know, this proves right here that, you know, this is where Jesus was at. It disproves a lot of other things and all that, and then you find out it's a fake. There's been a lot of things that have been done through the years to discredit the resurrection story, as well as the birth of Christ. A lot of things have been done to discredit that. As we'll see at the end here, if you can discredit the resurrection, if you can discredit it, you have won a decisive and major battle against Christianity. The women were expecting the disciples to be excited. They should have been excited, but they weren't. Let's go to another passage, John's Gospel, chapter 20. Starting in verse 11. John chapter 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white, sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Mary Magdalene was expecting a straight answer from this gardener. Just give me the answer. Where did you take my Jesus? And he didn't give the answer. Instead, he calls her by name, Mary. When he spoke her name, can you imagine what it must have sounded like in her ears to hear her name spoken by her Savior, Mary? And all of a sudden, everything clicks. She knows exactly who this is. Rabboni, this is Jesus. What a wonderful thing to hear the Lord call your name. Notice how she got what she didn't expect. She expected that all things that would have blocked her way from doing what she needed to do, she expected a corpse would be something that would be there that she had to take care of. She expected the disciples to be excited. All she wanted was a straight answer. Where's Jesus? And everything that she got back was so much better than what she asked for. Christians, do you realize today that when we take our expectations and we take them to the Lord, we get far better than what we expected and so much more than what we asked for? Turn your Bible, if you would. Let's take a look at one more passage, and we're going to hang out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's hard to believe that we are on the 106th day on our calendars and that it's Easter. And it's hard to believe how many people in the world today have absolutely no clue and do not celebrate the true meaning of Easter. Instead, we take Easter and it's turned into just Easter egg hunts, going to grandma's house for Easter dinner, new outfits, jelly beans. Now, I'm okay with that. They came on the scene in the 1930s. Cadbury eggs, that's a good one. Peeps, those marshmallowy things. Boo. Why those came on the market, I don't know. Some of you like them, and God help you and bless you for it. But and for many kids, they look forward to this because it signals either spring break begins or spring break ends. And if it ends, they're not really looking forward to it. But it is that kind of a signal. Those are all normal things that we typically do. As we come to Easter as Christians, we come into Easter with a totally different perspective based on 1 Corinthians 15. Start reading in verse 12 with me. Now, if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Do you realize that Easter is the most important of the holidays, of the Christian holidays we celebrate? Because if Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave, a nativity scene would it matter? A crucifixion scene would not matter. It requires the Savior to go to that cross, not to stay dead, but to arise again from the grave, just like He said He would. Many people come into Easter with great expectations and expecting their families to respond in certain ways and do certain things and make it some sort of a special kind of a day for them. Let me tell you something. Easter will not be special to any of us if we do not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ personally. Because that's what it's all about. It's about our expectations. In life, our expectations will never be met. Nothing in life will ever meet your expectation. The person you married, they will not meet your expectation. The person you're dating will never meet your expectation. Your job will never meet your expectation. Your children will never meet your expectation. Your parents will never meet your expectations. It just ain't going to happen. But I can tell you today, if you take those expectations, you take them to Jesus, you're going to find out that every expectation can and will be met in Christ. Maybe you're sitting here today and you do not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ personally. You've never trusted Him as Savior. You say, oh, I got drug along to the church services today. I had to be there and all that. But I don't really believe it. Let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave, there would be no need to be here for a church service. No need at all. But it's because Jesus has risen from the grave. And He has the power to give new life to all who will believe. And lost person today, Jesus Christ wants to save your soul. Jesus Christ came and He went through all of this specifically for you. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which you're lost. And there is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Today, lost person, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. A lot of times people will say, well, my expectations, if I become a Christian, man, my expectations of Christianity are pretty dull. They're boring. Christ takes all the fun out of it. You know, it's just going to be a drab, dull life. You know what? Christ is going to take some things away. Let's just face it. He is going to remove some things out of your life, but it's things that you don't need. And then what Christ will put into your life is far greater than anything that you would give up. Lost person, how in the world can we beg you more than to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you immensely and wants to be the Lord and the Savior of your life? Would you trust Him today? Would today be the day that you'd come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Christians, it's Easter. What have you done so far to make sure that Christ is first and foremost in your Easter celebrations? What have you done to make Him center of all? Does Easter to you, Christian, has it kind of lost its meaning, lost its perspective? We have a great message to share. We have that message to share every Sunday. Every Sunday is a reenactment, if you will, a recommitment to the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. It's a new opportunity for us to celebrate our risen Lord. But Christians, so many times we go through our days and things like this, it gets all gobbled up by all the specialties that life has to offer. And we just don't surrender it all to Christ. Christian, today needs to be a day of surrender for you. Will you let the Lord have His way in your life? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for the plan of salvation. We thank You that any person that is here today without Jesus Christ as Savior, today is the day they can trust You and know You personally. We pray, Lord, for the Christian. Lord, the Christian needs to know Christ. The power of his resurrection is what Paul said. Already saved, but Lord, so many of us really haven't tapped into the power of that resurrection. Today we pray that as believers in Christ, that we might somewhere in our hearts find that place that is not surrendered to you and give it over to you today. For we pray and ask it all in the name of Jesus.